two, one, recording. Three, two, one. We need a jingle, PJ, like one that we could sing with our fancy microphones.
Davey, it's clear we have a jingle. You just jingled? Is that a verb?
Three, two, one. Welcome to the Design System Office Hours podcast, PJ.
Well, I hope you keep the pre-recording jingle in there, because that was a beautiful intro to this episode.
Yeah, we're recording this per usual on a Friday afternoon. And we want to talk to you, PJ, a little bit about the new portion of your role as a product owner, and talk about, I think when we were brainstorming this topic about Jira, but this is really about task management and how, as we grow into new roles and design systems, how we are involved in that space. So Jira just happens to be, you know, for better or for worse, the tool that we've been using for over 10 years in our various roles. So that's sort of what brought this to light. So it's also a perfect segue to an episode that we have on releases and versioning, available on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Just like, comment, subscribe. What else should we say?
Like, comment, subscribe, smash the like button.
Don't smash the like button. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, who doesn't like to talk about Jira? I don't think there's a single person on this planet who doesn't enjoy talking about Jira. So why don't we spend 30 minutes doing that?
When I was on the feature design team and we would run sprint planning, I treated it like as if when you call on my name, when you say, Davey, we're ready to go over your tasks, I go and walk to the front of the room back, you know, in non-COVID days. I would sit in the chair next to the product owner as if I was on the stand, ready to talk about my task. So that's sort of like the sort of theatrics, I think, that I try to bring to sprint planning, because it's a dry topic.
So the stand, so you're referring, you're creating a metaphorical connection between planning with being on trial for some crime.
That is the dark way that I see it. I also see tickets and planning as accountability. So yeah. I want to be able to be mapped to accountable task and output.
Great. So I guess in this case, then I'm Judge Jira, given my role shift at Pinterest.
Yeah, Judge Jira.
Jira. Great. I'm gonna own that and just roll with it on the team.
So in terms of Jira, Judge Jira, how do you use Jira specifically as a project management tool, and possibly other, if you use any other parts of the suite, how do you use that to track work for your team of designers?
Just ended. This is how excited Davey is about Jira. I start talking about it and he immediately cancels the recording. So you can tell we're super excited about this.
I would say that that's a little bit of a bug.
What? What in the tool?
Jira.
Well done. I'm sorry. I am immensely slow. I'm just not a smart person.
Yeah. When it comes down to it. Yeah. Where we left off was PJ. How do you utilize Jira and the other suite of tools within Atlassian to help your teams of designers and engineers track work?
Yeah. So because we're a cross-functional team, having something like Jira, we're not endorsing Jira. But having a single source of truth for just tracking work across the course of a year is super helpful, given a lot of the work crosses over functions, crosses over stakeholders, and keeping track of that, forecasting, you know, across sprints, starting to plan out, you know, months ahead. That's turns out to be a challenge, especially with tools like Google Sheets or you know, more pedestrian tools. So we use Jira, A, because that's what's at Pinterest, and B, it, you know, it does a good, you know, a decent job at it. What I usually say about Jira is I don't like Jira, but I like the output that Jira allows for a team. It allows alignment and everyone's on the same page. So a lot of the work at the end of the year is just planning, trying to get a sense of what we want to commit to, and then subsequently starting to ticket that out into granular tasks. It's not the most exciting work in the world, but it starts to gut check, you know, at a high level, if what you are committing to actually makes sense and is feasible, and also you have the headcount and allocation to make that happen.
No, one thing to sort of like follow up on that is, I think I've been more of the space in Jira. Again, like we're not sponsored. We just happen to be using this tool for a very, very long time. We plan more of on the epic level. We usually typically allow our product teams to plan at that initiative level. So I wanted to understand from you, PJ, knowing that you do your planning in halves, how what is the level of granularity of your planning? Like when you sort of do that exercise, are you planning out specific story types that you stub out? How does that look for you?
That's a good question. It starts off pretty broad and vague. And then at some point you got to gut check it. You know, we said we were going to do this thing. Can we actually do it? And so at some point it does have to start getting broken down into something resembling scope and level of effort. Typically takes its shape as placeholder stories, epics, you know, the typical artifacts of Jira. And honestly, it can exist in, you know, like a paper doc or a Coda doc early on, if that allows you to get faster. You know, creating tickets in Jira isn't necessarily the fastest process in the world. So it's really just trying to get the idea out as quickly as possible and then codifying it in a more centralized location down the road.
You mentioned using Google Sheets as well. Like, is there a compelling reason to have a little bit of a split off of the documentation, like when you're like in this sort of discovery phase?
If it helps you get to an answer faster, then I'm all for it. I think the risk that I've seen is that you do it and then you don't call that branch on the tree. That's, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use, and people are still referring to that, and it causes fragmentation and confusion and that's the risk. And I am absolutely guilty of that, where great, we finished it. Awesome. On to the next thing. And you just move on and you forget to close that loop. And then all of a sudden folks are still going there. They're referring to that. They're confused. Why is, you know, it says this, why are you doing that? And that is no longer the source of truth, which goes back to the whole central, like the theme of single source of truth. So I think that's the big takeaway, is if, you know, do whatever you need to do to be as fast as possible. But once that thing is no longer the thing, get rid of it, burn it, throw it away, whatever you need to do to make sure that folks aren't referring to it.
I am myself guilty. So AKA Davey PM, because I've been the program manager for the team for a little bit. I'm also known as JRR Tokens per our last episode.
Well done.
Got to sneak that in there. I've been guilty myself of using Google Sheets just as like a tertiary tracker. And this is just due to, as much as we like to think designers love Jira and design leaders love Jira, we found they do.
Sorry,
not.
Wait, what? Designers do not. Yeah. I don't know what universe you've been living in, but I have not met a single designer that, you know, wakes up and says, you know what I love? I love Jira. So that's interesting, because I haven't had that similar experience.
Design leaders also do not love Jira. And I think they're looking for better, for worse, I think they're looking for more succinct documentation, in the sense of, even if we are tracking planning of design system output for this next half, they might just want to see progress like in a Google Sheet. That's something that they're more familiar with. So we've run into that issue ourselves, and I've utilized Google Sheets in a very manual fashion, where I use that to list all of the things that we're going to be building in this quarter, from most atomic, like type ramp, color ramp, to all of the subatomic and then components, and then also templates. But then, like you said, as we finish the initiative, that spreadsheet it doesn't really have any more value other than just like as a capture of this in time. So I do think that it's important to try to utilize the tool that is the, you know, product definition source of truth, which in this case is Jira. I've also had great interest in learning other facets of this, like structure or other more advanced capabilities. But then I also think to myself that my job is only partially as like the program manager. Like I don't want to necessarily dive in and develop one way of working in structure that may not be supported by a program manager when they come along.
Yeah, it's a challenge because you have different functions that work in different ways, and the more differently they work, the higher likelihood that there's going to be communicational challenges, workflow challenges, just general compatibility issues. And so half of the rationale is just, hey, if engineering is on Jira, unless we just, it's crushing our souls to a point where we absolutely can't do our work, I think there's a strong case to stay there, because ultimately, if we're not aligned with engineering, the stuff we design don't get shipped. And that's kind of the point. So that's been a large case for it as well, to really try to meet engineers where they're at and give them the best shot to succeed. So design ultimately succeeds as well. But it's not always, the most enjoyable experience in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems like a very binary question. Does your engineering team use Jira, Asana, or other? And if it's Asana, then we should probably be in Asana and not Jira. If they're using Jira, then it's in our best interest to align and, share artifacts in the same place. Like our specific example, I think we've talked a little bit about this sort of like our complexities in our engineering org, where we have 7 client engineering teams. So they all have individual Jira boards. So then as tickets get accepted from product design, we create our own design system ticket, usually to spike the work and work in parallel with designers. Then as it goes through this delivery process, the product ticket becomes the source of truth in that sense. Like after all of the artifacts are sort of agreed upon, and then it would get spawned down to all of the client engineering team. So I'm just imagining if, let's say hypothetically, one of these design teams just decided they wanted to be in Asana. I really don't see how that would work if your end customer is this client engineering team. So there has been teams that we've seen that want to try something different. Either they want to try Asana or they want to try other pieces of documentation tools like Notion, like you mentioned Dropbox Paper. I think the support tool, there is some flexibility for that. Obviously, we mentioned we use Google Sheets, but at the end of the day, we need to try to, with our hearts, put ourselves in a product source of truth, because we don't want the product requirements to be in too many disparate locations.
So if we abstract this away from Jira, this is more about aligning on how the work gets done and having everyone be in the same place, so we don't get our wires crossed. If that's Jira, awesome, or not awesome, depending on your opinion. If it's something else, great. But just as long as everyone's on the same page, speaking the same language, that seems to be the optimal approach.
How would you combat if, let's say, a designer on your team, bless your heart, PJ, if a designer on your team said, well, tracking work is not my job. It's not my job to fill in Jira tickets. And what would you say?
It's my job. I mean, it ultimately is my job. Luckily, we have a team of angels and saints where they're more than willing to help create a ticket or just stub one out if in a pinch. But I think that is the strong case for a product manager / product owner on the team that can own that, because it is a job in and of itself. Short story, I switched out of manager to focus on product management. That's something I really love, and I'm having the fortune to be able to do that for design systems, which is something I also tend to like a little bit. But, we're still through the process of transition, and I'm still not able to have all the time needed to be a full-fledged, like doing all the product managery stuff, because it's a full-time job. And the bigger your customer base, the more platforms you support, the more customers you have, the more you need, I personally think, the more you need a product manager just to gut check, well, why are we doing that? How does that impact our strategic goals? How does that connect with all the other things that we do? It's a full-time job. And especially, we hear a lot that design systems teams can struggle for resources. That's not an uncommon story, right? So the first question leadership is going to ask, like, why do you want these people? What are you going to do? How's that? Why is that helping the business? And if you don't have someone with two hands on the wheel to answer those questions cogently and say, let me tell you, I got it. I can speak your ear off on this. It can be hard to grow the team and scale the team to what you need it to be and to prove out, yeah, we are helping the business out. And this is how, and this is, you know, our timeline for making it even better. So it can seem a little, tangential to the typical team structure. But I think the bigger the effort, the more complicated it is, the more critical a dedicated role for that responsibility is on a design systems team.
I think I might know the answer for this. This is a little bit of like just speaking towards design leadership's role and, you know, and project planning. And I think design leaders and even like, you know, however senior you are, they may be accustomed to tracking goals and tracking velocity in different ways, whether that's like a an exec summary, a newsletter. How would you approach a design leader that this doesn't seem as interested in going through a dashboard to understand like that, you know, your team may be having some velocity issues or you may need extra resourcing? Yeah. How would you handle that?
The first thing is with something like Google Sheets, it can be really difficult to even know that you're having velocity issues. We want to improve our velocity. Awesome. Great. What's our current velocity? How do we track it? How do we know what good is? Without those things in place, it's difficult to move the mark because A, you don't have a mark. And B, if you have no way to track it, then if you do a thing, how do you know that it improves velocity? So that's where something, again, we're not endorsed by Atlassian. That's where something like Jira is helpful because we point every ticket. I was able to say in that we had a year in review, and I was able to say like, hey, our velocity nearly tripled from H1 to H2. You know, here's the exact number of points that we finished. We had a massive increase in 2021 in velocity over from H1 to H2, right? That's a great win. And we knew about it because we were tracking it. The other thing that's really helpful about a tool like Jira, doesn't have to be Jira, especially, and this is really relevant to today, you know, there are stories of burnout in corporate America. Well, if you don't have a way to track how much effort people are putting in per week, how do you know if folks are at risk of burning out, right? That doesn't mean that people can't burn out, but one thing we've done is we've softly instituted a limit of points per sprint. Like, yo, you have 53 points for this sprint. And there, you know, that equates to 53 days. We have 10 days in this sprint. That seems like a recipe for burnout. So having that pointing and that estimation, which is done by the IC it's attached to, is a way to gate to some degree burnout. And we also bake in utilization rates. So we have a percentage of time that we want to utilize towards goals. The rest is free time for meetings, things that come up, you know, whatever. And so we just bake that in and we say, you have this many points. If more needs to get done, that's on the product manager to figure out. That's not on the IC to do more work. And so that's where some of the value is for a tool like that that can track, is now all of a sudden you can understand velocity changes, you can understand utilization, and you can try to do your best from a quantitative standpoint to limit burnout as best as you can. And I just maybe I'm just limited in my capabilities, but I don't know how you do that without a gobs of effort in something like Google Sheets.
Yeah, I think that's where the epic views, I think are very, very important. Like if we said that we're working on, let's say like a card component, this is a card component epic, and we're looking to launch updates in this quarter, you'd be able to see in a story or task level, these are all of the tickets that we wrote, starting anywhere from auditing the existing experience across multiple brands to talking to design. This could include also other parts of discovery, like reading internal research and to see if there's any customer findings that we could find.
Yeah.
The pointing, I think, is something we would love to get to. We've been utilizing just a very simple Kanban model where our designers would take anywhere from 1 to 3 tasks and try to work on them throughout the week and then put them down as a finish. I say usually more than one task. As you know, like as design system practitioners, like you start with the task, you pull a thread, you've created yourself a new task. So there's, it's a very buy one, get one free mentality. And I think it's also created a mechanism to enable designers to fill their backlogs and track work that they want to come back to. We've been sort of on the hook previously to try to fix stuff as we go along, because when we were federated on Disney, we never had the time to come back to things. So we're like that. That's not even an issue right now. We could come back and fix something at any time. It's really just making a ticket, stubbing that out, and then making a mental note to come back to this in our backlog. But we haven't had success with pointing or t-shirt sizing just because we haven't had the resourcing to do that. Like as you mentioned, the lift of I think managing the program, managing the task. I'm still on the people management level 2, so I'm trying to dole out these tasks and make sure that they hit our personal goals. But I would like to get to pointing and t-shirt sizing again for our tasks.
Do you have sprint planning? Do you have some sort of window of work that you plan out? How does that work?
We've been very loose because it's Kanban. We really just it's a very much a just in time model. In the past, when we've had larger swaths of work that needs to be planned, we would do like a backlog grooming session, like a biweekly sprint planning, but we would do groups of triaging. So like, and this is like, I would always like, talk to our product owners and see like, you're really creating these tickets like after hours, like, cause you really do need time to just focus and kind of jam through that stuff. So I think the sprint planning I think would be good, but there's also, I have mixed feelings about sprint planning just based on like size of team. Like when we've had, 3 members of our team, I think that'd be super easy to do sprint planning. Once you get to the 7 or 8, it becomes very tedious to assume that, we should have all the members in one place to go through all of the tasks. I think it's differences for different team members, but when we've had, totally. 10 people, that's when I took the stand. I'd be questioned on my tasks, then I would give sizing for them, and then I would go sit down. That's how that ceremony felt. It felt a little bit long in the tooth. It felt like the time could have been utilized a little better. It felt like maybe our team was larger than a pizza team and it should have been split up into a smaller group.
Yeah. There's pros and cons. We do have sprint planning. It takes an hour. We do it every 2 weeks, and we have typically like 7 or 8 folks on the call. There's a lot of time where you're sitting there, I'm assuming as an IC, where you're like, this has nothing to do with me. So that that's not awesome, but it does create cross team visibility. It also gives the opportunity for someone to say, PJ, what are you thinking with this idea? Like, even if it's not assigned to someone, having someone be able to say, hey, I think that is a horrible idea and here's why, is really helpful. Because, Lord knows I am a mentally limited, and having someone gut check these things or provide a different perspective, just chat through them as a team is really helpful. But it is a time commitment, right? You're talking about 8 or 9 human hours in a day. That's a decent chunk of time that you're investing in that. for our team, I'd say it's worth it. Because we also roll in retro as well, which is also super helpful because it gives us a chance to talk through what worked, what didn't. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing about tools and process and all that gobbledygook is that there's no perfect way. And it's more about fitting the needs of the team as opposed to being some ardent adherer to a single solution that should work at any company and any team.
Yeah, there's many solutions. And I think the best way to sort of express that is the differences in organizations between yours and mine. We're very aware that there's no one size fit all. There's just sort of nuances to how we know what would work in our team. So one thing I did want to touch on is the notion of working alongside feature designers. So as feature designers are going through discovery ideation and such, how have you utilized project planning to help track and follow along with what designers are doing versus what you may end up taking in as a contribution soon in the system?
Like a customer contribution, someone that, I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand.
Like a feature designer.
Got it.
So like if you're working on like a new card, you're working with, a designer on a card component and it's in the team's best interest to absorb that into the system. How do you follow along from a project planning point of view and how do you fit that in?
Yeah, we ticket it. So, I mean, we ticket everything. So like, I'm going to go and, performance reviews, that was ticketed. Someone's putting together a presentation for team bonding. We ticket that. Mainly we ticket it because if you're working on it, we want to make sure that we're accounting for it. So that's a long-winded way of saying if there is a contribution, there's always going to be some involvement with the Gestalt team. So we ticket, essentially partner with product designer to vet this design. And then there'd be another ticket for, well, we got to build it. So that's another ticket. And we probably should show up in Figma, right? Got to ticket that. So that's the thing it's tedious and it's painful, but just being very explicit about this seems like one task. It ain't. It's like five or six, right? Or whatever it is. It's never one task. It's always something a little bit more complex. And so just stubbing that out, making sure that those separate tasks are separate tasks within Jira so that it's clear what needs to get done to ship. Because that's been my problem in the past. Like before I had more experience in this, I'd say like, do the thing. Okay, let's unravel that. Doing the thing requires a lot of sub things to get done. And if you're not explicit about that, it's going to get misunderstood.
We, I think as design system practitioners, I think we have the great skill of being able to boil down the tasks into very digestible action items, which is a benefit, but it is also, it could be seen as like, we've simplified the task. And there's certain times where like, we've had this happen on our team where we intake a task that seems like a very like simple update. Maybe it's creating some variants for a component. And then as we work through this, it goes from a small task to a large task. And what we ask is for designers to, as they work through the ticket, as you see complexities, just log it, comment this so we understand every touch point that you may have had with the feature designer. Because there's a lot of, what we're finding is there's lots of little deltas and little nuances to designs and components that are being changed without knowledge of our team. And we want to make sure that everything is intentional. We put good faith in that, like things are changed for a reason. So we do want to capture almost in like a changelog sort of fashion, how this component has evolved over time. And this is really thinking towards how might I or another designer look at this component and use it a year down the line.
That's the thing is that you don't know until you do the thing. The estimates are just estimates and dig in.
They're swags. That's what they call them, right?
Swags. You're going to have to explain that. I have not heard this.
You never heard the swag?
I'm also old as dirt, so that probably has something to do with it. Are you looking it up?
Now I'm googling it now, but I'm slow. Yeah, it's a swag is a portfolio items with story points are to backlog items. Swag provides a way to compare size, time, and effort that it will take to complete a set of features without going through detailed backlog estimating activities.
You never heard
that one? It's more of like a back of the napkin. Like these are the tasks that need to be completed for this story to be fixed. It's sort of like a rough estimate. So that's how I saw the pointing. Yeah. Also, like the issues we had with pointing is that our program manager said never equate points with hours or days, and then obviously we would make the mental model, well, a day is sort of like 3-ish points. You know, like there's always going to be some sort of like decoder ring back in the napkin.
I think it's like the term weaponizing Jira. If someone's going to weaponize your estimate, they're going to weaponize it no matter what methodology you use for pointing. Don't be a jerk. Like, just don't be a jerk. And if someone says 2 days and it takes longer, like that happens. And that happens. If there's unknowns, and we really try to underscore on our team, this estimate is not to hold against you. It's to try to understand, it's try to protect you. We're trying to not put too much on your plate. I mean, the other thing too is people have different estimation. They have different ways of thinking through estimates. Some people are super optimistic. Oh, let's take a day, and it takes 5 days. And my personal opinion is at some point there's enough of a data history where you can just kind of build that into the process. And, you say 1 point, but it's probably going to be double. So why don't we just give you less, story points this sprint, because ultimately the way that you point, they typically take longer. And it's to protect the team, and it's to be better about forecasting work, not about saying, well, you said it's 1 point and it took 1.5 days. So you're in trouble now. Don't be a jerk and understand that estimates are hard and they're typically wrong.
I would still love to get back to pointing. I think when we had our best success with pointing, we would have designers, point design system check-in. So we would work with the program managers to create 1 point story tickets for designers to come to office hours. And that's an incredibly easy one to track. We know that as you go through Fidelity, let's just drop a 1-pointer in there. Other things like competitive analysis, or even just kind of diving into the apps to see where we left off, that's another 1-pointer. Those are ones that I think kind of get lost a little bit, because we get so eager just to try to fix something that we don't account for the fact that maybe we should go back in Jira and see the timeline of this task. Let's see other iterations of this in the past and how that might work. Or let's just see from an engineering point of view, what was not accepted but maybe accepted, if we had more time. I think the best lens for us is being able to make micro improvements, like as these components, move through time and not be stale. I think that's a good way to look at it.
If you get really good at it, the thing I've been trying to sell at Pinterest is if you get real good at this, it becomes magical, because all of a sudden you're not planning for the next 2 weeks. You're starting to plan for the next quarter. And then you can start planning for the half if you get really good at estimation. And then all of a sudden you're not having the discussions of, hey, this thing we promised, we were going to ship in 3 days, we're not going to ship. That's a very different conversation from, hey, the thing that we're going to be, we plan to ship in 3 quarters may be at risk. It's a very different conversation. If you can start to project out with some level of accuracy, you can get ahead of those problems and avoid surprises. And be able to problem solve before it becomes an issue. But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of trust that team members don't feel like you're using this against them. That has been something I've observed in the past. And it just takes a lot of work too, which goes back to dedicated product management.
We've hit about 30 minutes on this topic, a riveting topic about, you know, riveting designers' favorite tools. You know, it's a number one Jira, then
If you've stayed awake for this entire podcast, congratulations. So probably one of five listeners that stayed awake.
I would not share the completion rates for this one. Yeah, so thanks, BJ, again for a spirited conversation, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you, Davey.